This morning's reading is from Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 22. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promises for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray for Kevin as he's going to unpack all of that. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for Kevin, and we pray for your Holy Spirit to come upon him, to speak through him, and Lord, help us to really hear you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hands up, who's got one of these? Who's got one of these in their pocket right now? BibleGateway.com. Okay, BibleGateway.com. It's Acts 2, verse 22 to 41. Okay? Or if you've got one that doesn't need batteries, even better. Let's have Chizu and Ganahu. Can you come up the front, please? I've not prepped them. Can you come up the front, please? We're going to play a little game. Has anyone played Guess Who before? You're very quiet, so I'm a bit deaf. Has anyone played Guess Who before?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, so, who's good at asking questions, who's good at guessing?
I'll ask.
You're going to ask the questions, okay. So, I have a photo of someone on my phone here. You're going to ask the questions?
Oh, I don't know.
Or are you going to guess? You're going to ask the questions?
Oh,
wait. So, someone's going to hold it and say yes or no. The other person's got to ask questions.
Okay, I'll ask
questions. Right, so cheers. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So if everyone in the room could raise their hand. Okay. Right. Ask away.
Oh, wait. I don't understand. I'm asking.
No. So it's like, guess who? Like, is it a man or a woman? It's yes, no answers. Like, you could say, is it a woman? Or is it a man?
Is it a man?
No.
So, all the men in the room, put your hands down. Okay.
Are they under age or...
Yeah. So, if you're a lady and you're under 40, please put your hands down. They're all lying. They're all lying. It's okay. Last question, make it a good one. And then you have to guess. Only three questions. Otherwise, we'll be here all day. Speed round.
Okay. Do they play a particular role in the church?
Do they play a particular role within the church?
Behind the scenes.
I think the answer is yes. Okay. So... Ganahu, if you look who's still got their hand up, who do you think it might be?
I'll just go to Ruth.
Is it Ruth?
No.
The answer's Leslie. There is another one. If we could have newlyweds, please, at the front. Who's going to answer questions? Who's going to be like, yes, no? Charlie's going to know everyone.
No, he won't.
He won't. Okay.
Are they a woman?
No.
Sorry, everyone hands up. Are they a woman? No. So all the ladies put their hands down.
Are they under the age of 40?
Should I help with this one? Yes, they are.
You've got one more question.
There's not many left, is there?
Andy's behind the pillar as well, in case you can't see him.
Andy, stop hiding. Do they not wear?
Do that's confused me.
So do they not play a role in the church? Would be no.
Yeah, so you've really confused me. Can you think of another question?
So, out of the ones that are left, who do you think it might be?
I'm feeling it's Jay.
Well done,
you're right. Is it Jay?
It is Jay.
I mean, we could have been here all day playing Guess Who. Thankfully, in the passage that was read today, and this link's tenuous, we're not left guessing who Jesus is. It took me a long time to come up with that link. I just wanted to play Guess Who. In today's passage, we're not left guessing who Jesus is. If you look down with me, so if you've got Bible Gateway open or your actual Bible, verse 22, Peter is calling out to the people around him, much like I'm stood here in front of you. What Peter says in the first line of today's passage can easily go overlooked, can be glanced over. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God. I think we need to pause and look at what that means. If you work in IT like me, often you get people, with their glasses on and, work in IT. That's not what we're all like, honest. But you hear the word accredited being bandied around quite a bit. So, and a perfect example, maybe a technician or a company are Microsoft accredited, or they've been accredited by Apple. If they're accredited, they've been given the authority to carry out the work of that company. So if your boiler breaks, you may get a Bosch accredited engineer, but they don't work for Bosch. Okay? They've been accredited. They have the authority to do that work. So now if we go back to what we've read, Jesus was accredited by God. Jesus has the same authority of that as God the Father. Jesus doesn't come with a badge or a sticker or his IT geeky glasses. No, Jesus is accredited by God, and we're told that he shows the people back then, and he shows us now, by the signs and the wonders and the miracles that he performed. Read with me verses 23 and 24. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Peter here is emphasizing the sovereign plan of God. It was always God's plan to send Jesus as a man with the authority of God the Father, who would raise him up from the grave. Peter says that it was impossible for death to keep a hold on Jesus. And this because Jesus broke the bonds of the evil one. He defeated death. Peter goes on to quote a prophecy from King David. He quotes King David, why? What does he have to do with what Peter is saying about Jesus? Well, King David was originally from Bethlehem. He grew up as a shepherd. He was a leader raised up by God to lead God's people. He was anointed by God. King David was in the bloodline of Ruth and Boaz. So can we see a few similarities between King David, 1000 BC, and Jesus? So back to the passage. Let's unpack what David is saying. So the psalm that's being quoted here, if you look down with verse 25, it says, "The Lord is at his right hand." This is symbolizing God's protection over David. The support of the Lord. Verse 26. David's heart is glad and his tongue rejoices. David is filled with happiness and joy, and he rejoices in the Lord. The second part of verse 26, David says that my body will also rest in hope. Even the thought of death does not worry or concern David. Verse 27, he believes in the Lord. The Lord will keep him safe. The Lord will not abandon him to death. Keep going, verse 28. David knows he will live so long as God intends him to live. And after death, he will still be guided and protected by the Lord. All of this talks of David and what he believed. But it's also true of the one who was to come after David. The one who we now know as Jesus of Nazareth. Friends, I can speak to you here and now, just as Peter spoke to them there. I can reassure you, King David did die. He was buried. And his tomb is there. If you go to Israel, you can go and see David's tomb. It's not empty. David was a man after God's own heart. And he knew that a promise from God is a promise that will be kept. And God had promised David there would be one greater than he, one in the line of David, who would sit on his throne to be the true leader, the true king. To be the leader of God's people. Now, instead of David, if we read Jesus into the psalm that's being quoted here, Jesus saw the Lord always before him. Because he is at my right hand, Jesus will not be shaken. Therefore, Jesus' heart is glad and Jesus' tongue rejoices. Jesus' body will rest in hope. Because God will not abandon Jesus to the realm of the dead. God will not let Jesus see decay. You have made known to Jesus the path of life, and you'll follow Jesus with joy in your presence. See, now David could see the coming Messiah, the coming Christ. David in this psalm prophesies. He speaks of the resurrection. He speaks of Jesus being raised from the dead. That God would not abandon him to death. And Peter reaffirms this in verse 32. God has raised Jesus to life. And we can be sure of this because there are a large number of people listening to Peter, who Peter says are witnesses to Jesus being raised from the dead. So much more than this. Jesus has been raised to life, defeating death. Death could not hold him. He broke the bonds of death. Jesus then ascended into heaven, exalted at his seat at the right hand of the Father. Jesus has been exalted, meaning he is king over heaven and earth. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. To be seated at the right hand is representing authority and strength, a trusted advisor. And he is interceding for us weekly, daily, minute by minute. Let us read on, verse 33. Peter is explaining the signs and circumstances that had brought them together. The sound of the rushing wind. The tongues of fire, representing the Holy Spirit. Thank you. This Holy Spirit that had been received by Jesus and poured out on us. It was poured out on them. It is poured out on us now. This can be skipped over easily, and I almost did. But think about this for a moment. God had a plan and foresight for Jesus' life on earth. Now, if the Holy Spirit is here and at work in us and in the world around us, the very fact you're hearing these words today is no accident. The Lord brought you here. We've seen similarities between David and Jesus. However, we can also see that although David was a significant person in the Bible, one of God's leaders of God's people, a great man of God, with his flaws, don't get me wrong, he, David, did not ascend into heaven. David's tomb is not empty. He did not come back from the dead. And yet Peter quotes Psalm 110 next. Where David writes, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Lord said to my Lord, can we see here that this is God the Father and God the Son? Lord said to my Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus has been exalted to sit at the right hand of the Father, King of kings, Lord of lords, a trusted and strong advisor, interceding. And the Lord says to my Lord, I will make your enemies a footstool for your feet. If a military leader at the time had defeated an enemy, and they put their feet on them, partly as a humiliation, but also to signify that they had been defeated. They put their feet on the back of their necks. This is being said 1,000 years before Jesus came to earth. And David is declaring Jesus is Lord and that he will defeat the enemy, Peter affirms this in verse 36. God has made this man, who has the authority of God, who defeated death, who has poured out the Holy Spirit, who has been exalted and seated at the right hand of the Father. God has made this man, who was handed over to man to be crucified. God has made him Lord and Messiah. And the people who were around Peter heard what he'd said. They were cut to the heart. And I believe as we sit here reading these words, we too should feel something. We should feel something within us. Whether it be excitement or love or overwhelmed or confusion or guilt or maybe rejection or objection to what I'm saying. Something inside us should go yes or should go no or maybe. And you, like the people, may be wondering, what do I do? How do I handle these feelings or thoughts that I'm having? What do I do with these truths that have been laid before me this morning? Peter is very clear. Will someone with a Bible open or Bible Gateway on their phone, please read verse 38 aloud for me. Chizu? Amen. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the forgiveness of sins. Turn to Jesus and say, sorry. I have said, shove off, God. I'm in charge. No to your good ways. That's what sin is. Shove off, God. I'm in charge. No to your good ways. Say to Jesus, I want to know you. I accept you as Lord and Saviour. When you accept Jesus into your life, you're also accepting God the Holy Spirit. For those of us sat here thinking and feeling, this is what I already know. And I have Jesus in my life. I may have been living with Jesus for many, many years. Then you are blessed. Now, this next part will apply to those people. Will also apply if you've met Jesus for the first time here today. I challenge you to read verse 39 and not share Jesus with your neighbour, your colleague, friends, family, or the person on the bus tomorrow. Peter tells us in no uncertain terms the promise that is given when we repent and believe is for us, for our children, and for all who are far off. This may be physically, it may be spiritually. But we do not know who the Lord is calling. It is, however, for us to go, spread the good news, to tell people about Jesus. The message is for all whom God will call. It's not for us to decide. A challenge to me as I've been preparing and reading this passage and thinking it through. I started a new job a couple of weeks ago in Stratford. And as I walk from the station through the Stratford Centre, I think it's called, the shopping centre, there are brothers and sisters out there making themselves vulnerable day by day with passages, with scripts, with the Lord's word in their hand. And they're there telling people the good news of Jesus. What am I doing? That has been my challenge this week, the last 2 weeks. A friend, however, reminded me this week of a passage in the Old Testament of a man of God who was going around telling people the good news of God. And he came away from a town. And some boys came out of the town and jeered him and said, get out of here, Baldy! Whee! Get out, Baldy! He turned around, look to them, call down a curse on them in the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled, forged two of the boys. Now, I'm not saying you call a curse down on anyone. I'm not saying you'll get teased by boys for the way you look. But what I am saying is don't be scared of telling people about Jesus. If we truly believe Jesus has the authority of God, Jesus defeated death, Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit on us, He's at work in us. Jesus has been exalted to the right hand of the Father. Jesus is Lord and Messiah. And He did all of us take away our shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your good ways attitudes. Will He not be with us when we're stepping out in faith? The last verse should be an encouragement to all of us. After Peter had finished speaking about who Jesus is, around 3,000 people accepted the message and were baptized in the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus they were baptized for the forgiveness of sins. 3,000 people were baptized. If anything I've said today has touched you or you've got questions, please do seek myself or Keith after, or the prayer ministry team. I do challenge you, who is Jesus? And if you know Jesus, who are you telling? Do you know Jesus, and who are you telling about Jesus?